to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Throw does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky ends 3-0. Los Angeles, Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Doubleheader tonight from Sylvania. Tam and Shanner, this is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Glad to have you on board. Drive Time is always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. And Face Off the Hockey Show at 6:05. We are in our 18th season. Again, glad to have you on board. 5:15 tonight, we'll be talking to Steve French. Steve is the play-by-play broadcaster for the Akron Zips. Of course, they take on the University of Toledo Rockets. That is Saturday up at Ford Field in Detroit. Of course, the University of Toledo Rockets, they win the West. Akron wins the East. They play for the MAC championship on Saturday. Again, the Rockets are about a 20-point favorite in that game Saturday against Akron. Rockets won the only regular season meeting between the two clubs. 5:30 tonight, Matt Markey will join us, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. Then in the Face-Off, the Hockey Show. At 6:05, Toledo Walleye defenseman Ryan Obachowski will join us. Played for Yale, by the way. 2012 and 13, they won a national championship. And at 6:30 tonight, Aaron Portzline will join us. He is the National Hockey League writer for the new Upstart Online publication, The Athletic. Again, he'll join us tonight at 6:30. So, again, French at 5:15, Markey at 5:30, Obachowski at 6:05, and Portzline at 6:30 tonight. Quick timeout. We'll be back after this. This is Drive Time.
106.5 The Ticket.
Everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Quick reminder to all the guests on Drive Time, come courtesy of Vito's Pizza. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Just a couple of notes. Number one, a big weekend coming up. The Ohio State Buckeyes ranked number 8 in the final playoff rankings. Some other games of interest, of course, coming up this weekend as well. And a lot of the teams that are above the Ohio State Buckeyes in the rankings get together. For example, Auburn and Georgia. Auburn's a 2.5-point favorite in that game. Auburn ranked number 2 in the playoff rankings, of course, coming off that big win against Alabama. And, of course, Georgia, they are currently ranked 6th. Buckeyes are ranked 8th. So a lot of bizarre things have to happen. Clemson takes on Miami. Miami coming off that loss against Pittsburgh. Clemson, the number 1 ranked team in the playoff rankings. Of course, Sunday will be the announcement of the Final Four. I mean, a lot of things are going to have to happen for Ohio State to get in. But a lot of these teams going head-to-head. Oklahoma has a big game against TCU. Oklahoma's favored by 7 in that game. Ohio State, 6.5 over Wisconsin. Must win for Ohio State, even if they're going to be in the conversation come Sunday as well. Rockets basketball last night wasn't pretty. Number 2 ranked Kansas. That was in Lawrence. Again, a big win for Kansas, 96-58. Right around the corner, play-by-play broadcaster Akron Zips. Steve French. This is Drive Time coming to you from the Waff Restaurant here at Sylvania Tampa Center.
Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Sylvania Tampa Center, Waff Restaurant, jam-packed. Glad to have you on board, everybody. A doubleheader tonight, Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, in the face-off of the hockey show. Face-off in its 18th season, by the way. We'll be talking to Aaron Portsline of The Athletic, was a longtime beat writer for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Ryan Obuchowski, he defenseman for the Toledo Walleye, get back into action this weekend. Indianapolis in downtown Toledo on Saturday night. Matt Markey will join us at 5:30. Again, you're tuned to the home of the Buckeyes, the Detroit Lions, and yes, on one of the Cumulus Cluster, the Michigan Wolverines. Of course, this Saturday up at Ford Field in Detroit, it's the MAC championship game. The University of Toledo Rockets taking on the Akron Zips. The radio play-by-play voice of Akron, Steve French, joins us. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing? It's great to be on. Yeah, quite a lineup there, man. I feel like I'm not worthy to tell you the truth with all those people you got coming up. But it's great to be with you.
No, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And thanks for taking the time. First things first, this is an Akron team. I think it's changed quite a bit since Toledo and Akron, Steve, got together back in October. Rockets won it by a score of 48-21. Akron's been on a bit of a roll since then. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as you mentioned, that game was obviously, you know, that was no fluke. I mean, 48-21 was a reflection of what happened that day. You know, the week before, the Zips had gone up to Western Michigan. I mean, really, having to play Western and Toledo on the road back-to-back, not fun. And, of course, that game was delayed by a day when Waldo Stadium got flooded out. So Akron actually showed a lot of character, won that game, didn't get home until midnight or so on Sunday, so it was a short week. Did that make any difference? I have no idea. But since then, the Zips defensively, I think, have gotten better. They've gotten healthier. Obviously, the Zips have switched quarterbacks the last couple games as well. And what a year. You know, the Zips have won twice in the league by one and once by three. Haven't dominated teams the way the Rockets have, but it's a real treat to be going back to Ford Field for the first time in 12 years because I just don't think anybody really expected that this year.
No, no doubt about it. Absolutely. I'm with you. Of course, Rockets won it up there in 2004, and Akron won it in 2005. I guess you get this all the time, Steve, so I apologize in advance, but the coach of that team, very well-known name when it comes to coaches in football, Terry Bowden, of course, the coach of the Zips. He was the SEC Coach of the Year with Auburn all the way back in 1993. Tell us a little bit about him. And you know, he's settled into Akron, has become part of the fabric and part of the DNA. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, really. You know, it was the Zips were back in right around 2010. The years kind of meld together. But Akron was, let's be honest about this, was basically the worst team in FBS football. Back-to-back 1-11 seasons. The coach was gone, had to find somebody. And frankly, we got turned down even by people who went to Akron, who had coached at Akron before. And then Terry Bowden stepped into the breach, you know, obviously at Auburn. He had left there. He had gone into TV, made good money. He loved what he was doing. But, you know, the Bowden family, he wanted to coach again, as evidenced by the fact that when he got back into coaching, he went to North Alabama in Division II. And he had been with the Zips back in the first year of Jerry Faust.
Wow.
Back in 87, 88, whenever that was. He was Jerry Faust's first quarterback's coach. So he had, you know, so that was really his only connection with Akron, when you get right down to it. And he took the job and immediately went 1-11 in his first year. So three straight 1-11 seasons. Over the last 5 years, they've won at least five every year, which in Toledo, that would not be a big deal, but it's pretty good stuff here. Going to a bowl game for the second time in 3 years. All his kids have gone or are going to Akron. He remarried a woman from Akron, And he definitely has settled into the community over these last 6 years. And about twice a year, Dad comes up. They drive Bobby and Ann up here to watch a game, and it's great to see them, man. I mean, what a coaching family that is.
No doubt about it. And anytime you see Bobby Bowden on TV, the energy level is just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what, Steve? You mentioned the defense. I was doing a little looking around today. I mean, 17 interceptions. That says a lot to me. I think it's among the highest total in the nation when it comes to NCAA football. So that's going in the right direction. They're going to see the ball in the air a lot, of course, with the Logan Woodside. You mentioned the defense being part of the Akron fabric. And, of course, you also mentioned the quarterback, and it's Cato Nelson. Of course, the first thing I think of is Cato Kalen or the Green Hornet Kalen or, of course, Peter Sellers or something. An odd first name, but a guy that can run, a guy that can throw. And, you know, I read someplace today, and I'm sure it's not the case, but there is a Terry Woodson, the other quarterback, that they're not decided who's going to play on Saturday. That can't be true. I'm guessing they're going with Nelson, correct?
I would say, while it's not official, that's probably a pretty good guess. Thomas Woodson got suspended. Ken Thomas Woodson, by the way, in Akron history, is second all-time in yards and touchdowns to only Charlie Fry. So it's not like that wasn't a big loss. When he got suspended, Cato Nelson had 2 days of preparation for his first game. At Miami, he did some good things, so they blitzed the heck out of him, and Miami won the game, but he comes back against Ohio and throws for 322 yards and 4 touchdowns against Kent. He did not throw the football particularly well, but he had an early touchdown pass, and he gives you more, he's very confident. He is a redshirt freshman. It's his second year in the program, and he is really a good runner. He gives you an extra dimension that you're going to need against a team like Toledo. So it's not official. I would be surprised if it's not him, but honestly, and I was at practice today, they don't even tell me, to be honest. But I think we can assume that right now. But you mentioned Logan Woodside. I mean, that guy is great. I'm just surprised he's not getting more run as one of the guys that could play in the NFL. I mean, he was sensational against Akron the first time. Now he got way too much time to throw, but also made some spectacular throws in that game, and I think he ran for 3 first downs. So that's where it all starts for the Rockets, and obviously he was the MAC Offensive Player of the Year, well-deserved, and it's going to be tough to stop him again.
You know what, Steve, it's ironic and funny that you mentioned that. We had Bruce Gronkowski on, of course, who is now part of the radio crew for the Rockets, and Logan Woodside broke all of his records, and one of the first questions I ask him, and here's Bruce Gronkowski that put together a pretty good National Football League career, didn't start a lot but hung around and collected an NFL paycheck for over a decade, so that's not a bad thing. But you know what I ask him that? First thing out of the chute, can Logan Woodside play in the National Football League? And I know he's a loyal guy to the school and the players there and has a relationship with Logan, but I bought the answer. He says, yes, absolutely. He's a guy that can play on Sunday, so we'll keep a close eye on that. But first, by the way, Ford Field on Saturday at noon when the Rockets are taking on Akron, by the way. Hey, you mentioned practice. I did read today, and it makes sense. I don't think this is any great revelation here, but Akron's doing the right thing. They're practicing inside. Obviously, Ford Field is inside. So, listen, you don't have to be a Bowden to figure that one out.
No, in the past, and of course a lot of the coaching staff for the Zips has mostly coached in Florida. So in the past, the associate head coach, who was the great Chuck Amato, who people may think of as Florida and Florida State and NC State, but he's actually from Easton, PA. But they left it up to him as to when to practice inside and outside. Well, when it would get below 40 degrees, they would go inside. Now, this year, they practiced outside more in conditions like they were expecting, during the game. So this week, of course, here has been beautiful. It was 61 degrees yesterday, but they've gone indoors. I don't think practicing inside, obviously you might as well practice inside because the wind and the cold is going to be no factor. So I did kid him a little bit about that. We've had our best week weather-wise in a month, and there we are practicing inside.
You know what? I was outside, and listen, you don't, if you've been married as long as me, Steve, you know there's just some things you do, and you're always in the good books. I was outside putting up the Christmas lights today, and regardless, that always keeps my wife in a tremendous, and she's in a good mood all the time anyways, but that's just an added little feature when she drives in from work today, and the Christmas lights are up, and I did it mainly because of what you just mentioned. Another gorgeous day in Northwest Ohio, and it seems like
Well, I was just outside again blowing leaves just before I got on with you guys. So, yes, that's a bonus here at the end of November.
Hey, final question, and hey, thanks for coming on. Have a good call, by the way, Steve, on Saturday, by the way. And played some of your clips today, this morning with Mike Coffey, veteran guy, do a wonderful job. If the Akron Zips are successful, what would they do right on Saturday?
Boy, first of all, by the way, you're the one of the few that hasn't called me veteran sportscaster. I think it's because you've actually done it longer than I have. So I don't run into many of those anymore that have done it longer. To be successful, you know, they're going to have to get pressure on Woodside, which obviously almost nobody has done all year. Akron's corners are actually very good. I was shocked, for instance, that Kyron Brown didn't get any sort of all-conference consideration. He has had a great year at corner. Got to get some pressure and can't lose the turnover battle. I guess that's obvious. And as far as, you know, I talked to Coach Bowden about running the ball, controlling the clock, and controlling the clock to me is kind of overrated because everybody gets the same number of possessions. But obviously in the first game they give up 300 yards rushing and get 40. So those are the kind of things that have to turn around. And, you know, 12 years ago, Akron was a 3-touchdown underdog to Northern Illinois in the championship game and pulled it off. So, you know, everyone puts their pants on one leg at a time, but the Zips are going to have to be pretty much flawless and chase Woodside around to be successful this Saturday.
Good stuff, Steve. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. I can't wish you too much good luck. I'm still paying tuition for my two daughters out there at Toledo. Anyways, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And as I mentioned, have a good call on Saturday.
All right. Thanks a lot. It was nice to talk to you.
That's Steve French, the radio voice of the Akron Zips. I was going to look this up. And I should have. I'm trying to. And listen, I'm sure there's an explanation for it that's pretty, you know, pretty obvious. During our break here, I'm going to look it up. The nickname, the Zips. I know somewhere down the road I had heard it once or twice exactly how they came up with that, but I'm going to find out here in a couple of moments. TAS Electronics update, little sports, a little weather as well. Also, the traffic, as always, is brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. All that right around the corner. Then Matt Markey. Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. All the guests, of course, come courtesy of the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. This is Drive Time.
It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Doubleheader tonight here for the Loft Restaurant, Savannah Tamas Shanner. Two lights in the building here. Looks absolutely phenomenal. It overlooks the TAS Electronics rink number one. Special thanks to Steve French, the radio play-by-play voice of the Akron Zips. I did look up the meaning of the word Zips. Actually, it's the B.F. Goodrich Rubber Company back in the 20s invented a shoe cover. People used to call them rubbers at times to cover your shoes, you know, dress shoes. And they were called zippers at the time. It was shortened to Zips. And, of course, Firestone Rubber is out of Akron. B.F. Goodrich, hence Zips, was a type of a cover shoe for your dress shoes. That's how they came up with their nickname. Speaking of play-by-play guys, Friday, you know, Steve French was so good for the Akron Zips. I love talking to the play-by-play guys because, well, they can talk a little bit. They can paint you a picture. We'll try to get Wisconsin's play-by-play man on for the show on Friday. We'll be talking to Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch on Friday as well. Face Off, the hockey show coming up at 6:05. But joining us now, like he does every Wednesday night, Matt Markey, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. His appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle. Fishing's their passion. Expert advice is free. They're over on Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee for everything you need for fishing bass, walleye, anything else that swims, by the way. And, Mr. Markey, before we get into the hunting, I guess that's a pretty good segue. I'm curious. I was out in the Lake Erie area today, by the way. Anybody out there fishing yet besides the guys that are out at night, as we touched on last week?
Yes, indeed, Mike. There's been actually a line to launch boats at Huron and also at Catawba on several of these. You know, they like the milder nights in terms of the wind. The temperature doesn't really phase this group of fishermen. It's the wind that kind of dictates when they can and can't be out there. But I've seen photos of, you know, 25, 30 boats in line getting ready to be launched just a little before dark. So they're definitely out there on the lake and, you know, on a milder evening after a sunny day, we'll see, you know, guys shoulder to shoulder on some of these more popular piers.
Again, Matt Markey joins us. His appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle. Your stories this week, I can tell the one that kind of got the hair standing up in the back of your neck and mine as well. You know, I think I touched on this in my show, and I love this area. I love Northwest Ohio, especially in this business. There's so many teams around in Cleveland, Detroit, the college sports. And, you know, you get in your car for an hour, hour and a half, and you're almost anywhere to pick up some type of either professional sports or college sports or something too. But, you know, I got to tell you, Toledo, I touched on this, the amount of, you know, shootings that have gone on in this city over the last year. I think we've had about 140 shootings and about 40 homicides, which to me is just absolutely baffling. But then you have people, when they start talking about, you know, hunting, they're using the word murder. And really what you have is wildlife management and sport. And the guy doesn't realize he's going to the grocery store, and every time he picks up a steak or, you know, a pork chop, you know, that's an animal as well. So I read your story. I felt your frustration a little bit. And the other side of it, you know, not even good enough to, you know, share their opinion in a live person-to-person fashion.
Yeah, and that's frustrated me to a certain degree, because I think we can only get any place if we listen to each other and are receptive to other points of view that might be contrary to what we hold. And I was always, you know, taught that was the way to conduct yourself, to be civil if you disagreed with someone, but to listen as well as talk, and to be, you know, open to any other viewpoints. And, you know, as I said in the column, when you grow up in a house with eight sisters, you got to have some skills in that. And I give everybody the opportunity to make their point. You know, my only two rules, Mike, on folks that email me or call in, and there's a lot of them, is, you know, I don't need you to swear or call me names. And if you say anything derogatory about my family, the conversation's over. You can say whatever you want about me, but I'm discouraged by it, because I think we're better than that as a people and as a society. I think, you know, our nation was founded with a great deal of debate over how the Constitution will be put together and the Declaration of Independence. We've had great debates, you know, over many issues over the years, but they haven't been resolved, you know, with, you know, people just screaming and calling each other names and then turning and walking away. Nothing gets, you know, resolved that way. So I was just hoping to illustrate that, you know, not only do we not get any place when, you know, one side just wants to have their say and then slam the door shut, it's also, you know, not educational or informative for any of us. I want to know what other people are thinking, even if it might end up being something I don't agree with. And in this case, you know, I've had a number of discussions, some of them moderately heated on the other side. I understand that, but people are passionate about their viewpoints. But we've always been able to talk things out, leave on good terms, and, you know, be accepting and tolerant of opposing viewpoints. And I think we have to maintain that. So I was just hoping that people would take a look at that column, say, okay, well, here's the argument or the case being presented for deer hunting. And, you know, what do you say after that? You know, my dad had one rule that You couldn't complain about something unless you were ready to offer an alternative or solution. So that's all I want. If somebody's against deer hunting or against hunting in general, you can have that position. Explain to me, you know, how things are going to work then from that point. That's what I wanted to hear from this anonymous caller was, okay, what's your solution? Because we've created the situation. We have too many deer. We've wiped out the predators. There's nothing to check the population other than starvation, disease, and automobile accidents if we don't have hunting. So what's your solution? That one was the question I wanted to ask and never got the opportunity.
And talking to Matt Markey, I apologize. A little bit of a technical problem here. We had a fire alarm go off here at Sylvania Tam and Shanter, and the power went out for a matter of moments. We got Matt back, and I heard him speaking as I came back on, and I think he answered the question very, very well. Hey, your other story this week, Matt, and believe me, the older you get, you count your blessings, and I loved your story on Thanksgiving, and, you know, I think every, you know, instant or every example you brought up, people can relate to, even if it's not the same thing that you mentioned, but it's a great reminder, whether it's the outdoors, and believe me, I just think the older I get, the more I appreciate it. Gorgeous day today. I was out near the lake today on a little bit of a mission, by the way. But, you know, we got to sit back every now and then and just kind of take things and soak it in a little bit and look around instead of, you know, coming over here today to Tam and Shanter. It's an observation, not a criticism. And I know it's that time of the year, people just running around and racing around for the holidays, and, you know, take a break every now and then and just kind of take some of the sights and sounds in the environment we live in.
Yeah, I think that was my primary message, Mike, was to, you know, be thankful certainly for, you know, those that you love and you have in your family, and they're, you know, absolutely priceless in value, but also take inventory of what we have here. I mean, we live in a place where you don't go home every night worried if the government's going to be overthrown, or worried if, you know, you're going to have a place to go to work tomorrow, or if any one of these disasters that seem to be going on elsewhere in the world. You know, we don't deal with those. And I think sometimes we have expectations that might be a tad, you know, unrealistic, that we, you know, we want perfection and nirvana, and that's not going to happen. You know, there are going to be things in life that challenge you and that frustrate you and, you know, block your path and so on. But overall, when we take a step back and take a look at things, we've got a ton to be thankful for. And it certainly is the people, but it's also the freedoms we have. It's a beautiful country that we have. And I would encourage anyone who hasn't been there to make a trip to the Everglades, to make a trip to the Grand Canyon, to make a trip to Alaska or Yosemite and Yellowstone, and think, these are some of the coolest places on the planet, and they're right here in our country. You don't need a passport to go to them. You don't need to leave and wonder what's going to happen, you know, when you're in a foreign land. No, you're still in the United States of America, and there are some absolutely incredible places here, real wonders of nature, and that we have the opportunity to see them all.
And Matt Markey joins us here in Drive Time. As always, his appearance brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. Coming to you tonight, by the way, from a jam-packed loft restaurant. Glad to have you on board. All of our guests appear courtesy of the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. White-tailed deer gun season opened up, by the way. Tons of hunters, almost a half million will be involved. And, you know, a couple of phases of exactly how this works. Tell me about your story and the finer points that I read that you might want to pass on to your listeners.
Well, it's, you know, the firearm season, which is usually referred to as deer season in both Ohio and Michigan, is it's a tradition and a ritual for many people. The Michigan season will end on tomorrow at half an hour after sunset. The gun season will end. The archery season in Michigan will then pick up again and go till January 1st, and there'll also be a muzzleloader season in Michigan. But we're kind of in the heart of the Ohio firearm season right now. It opened on Monday, a half an hour before dawn, and it runs through Sunday, half an hour after sunset. So, you know, a lot of people taking advantage of it. The weather we've had has been great for a walk in the park and great for maybe a late round of golf. it's not ideal for deer hunters. So the little, you know, the colder it is, the more likely deer are to be on the move during the day. But still, it's been a pretty good hunting season so far. It was about 22,400 deer were taken on opening day on Monday. That's quite a bit of an increase over last year. But a lot of times that's weather related. If we get a rainy day or rain and wind on opening day, that kind of, you know, tears things up pretty bad. But it'll all average out, you know, and the bulk of the, you know, the leading counties are the same usual suspects in the southeastern hill country. They have an abundance of deer and a lot of public land. So we see the highest numbers harvested there. So no real surprises there. Been a couple, you know, accidents that have taken place, unfortunately. But when you get that many people out in the field, it's bound to have a mishap here or there. But so far, it's been a pretty good, you know, firearm season in Ohio. I'm hearing good things from Michigan as well. And it's just kind of neat to see, because for a lot of people, it's times when dads and sons and uncles and grandpas get together and spend a few days in the field and, you know, having an early breakfast together and kind of, you know, reminiscing about, you know, past years and hopeful for future ones. So there's a real family element in a lot of these hunting parties as well. So we'll keep close tabs on it, and I'll have an update in the Friday hunting report. And then once the two firearm seasons are over, we'll have more of a comprehensive look at it, Mike.
You know what, Matt? I'm looking at your story here, and there's a lot of numbers here. And, I mean, it's like reading a box score, I guess. And just curious, updated almost on a daily basis. Is that, you know, strictly on websites, or do you have connections with various departments and organizations that help you get those numbers?
Well, a lot of it comes through the, you know, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources and the Ohio Division of Wildlife. That's the two primary sources. With things, the way things are done now with just about everybody having a phone or a smartphone and a lot of it done electronically, information becomes available, you know, so much quicker than it did in the past. So, we'll get numbers, you know, pretty soon after a certain day closes or a certain period closes. And I think that helps, certainly helps the game managers, but it also helps those of us who are trying to keep close tabs on these things. So the electronic advances and, you know, the high-tech side has made a lot of things easier, and one of them is keeping an accurate count and an accurate assessment of how things are going during the deer season.
Hey, tell me a little bit about the games Saturday, if you will. I know you had that beat for many, many years for the Big Ten Championship in Indianapolis. Buckeyes favored by about 6 over Wisconsin. Throw me a little of your football knowledge before you go, please.
Well, I don't know much about Wisconsin, and I think we're all kind of in that same boat because they didn't really have any severe tests this year. I mean, it certainly looks like a traditional Wisconsin team with, you know, you get the biggest farm boys you can find in Wisconsin and make linemen out of them, and then you get a couple good running backs and a you know, efficient quarterback, not a lot of flash. That appears to be them once again, but I don't think they've played anyone with the talent and the athletes that Ohio State has. So if we see the Ohio State team that played Michigan State and the one that, you know, in flashes there played against Michigan, I think they should be able to win that game. And then after that, I think it's a wild scramble because there are so many variables in this formula. I mean, it looks like a trigonometry problem if you try to figure out who those four teams are going to be, you know, after Saturday. But really an exciting weekend of football coming up. I'm looking forward to it. I think the MAC championship game will be interesting because anytime teams play, you know, twice in a year and certainly as close as they are in the MAC, you know, they know a lot about each other. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. But, just excited, you know, to see how it all plays out. And then the arguing that'll go on after the four teams are picked will be endless no matter what happens. So that might be fun to sit back and watch as well.
No, and everybody will have valid points. Good games indeed. Toledo and Akron and Auburn and Georgia, Clemson, Miami. Of course, the Buckeyes in Wisconsin. We mentioned Oklahoma and TCU. Have a good week, Matt. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
At Markey Toledo Blade, outdoor editor, back to close it out after this. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik.
Alexis and Clover accident there. Also, North Detroit at Dura. That's your right now traffic.